Some think peace is just the absence of conflict. But God can give us inner calm even when the world is topsy-turvy. Jesus knew his disciples would face extreme trials. Most would die as martyrs after suffering great persecution. The peace he left them is one of the weapons in the armor of God, a weapon we're told to wear as shoes. So, how's your peace today? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on The Invisible War. We're learning about the shoes of peace as we make our way through Ephesians chapter 6. Losing that peace is a sure sign of spiritual trouble.
You're here today and you have anxiety. That is a check engine sign from God. Almost certainly, something is wrong. So what you need to do is to ask, what is that wrong? What is that that's causing me anxiety? And that which is causing you anxiety almost certainly is something that you have refused to commit to God and leave with Him. Almost certainly, that is the cause. We have a staff member here at the Moody Church. This was not a member of the pastoral staff, but he's a member of our support staff, an incredibly faithful guy. Works all kinds of hours overtime, doesn't get paid for the overtime, conscientious. But he went on a trip this summer, vacation. I think he took his cousin along. And in Australia, he actually went bungee jumping and had it videoed so all of us could see it. I bought him lunch the other day. Wanted to see whether or not he was normal in other ways. So I said to him, tell me, what was it like? I mean, you've not done this before. Tell us what it's like. And he said, you get up there and you check the rope and you hope that the rope is strong. And then he said, I check to make sure that the rope that I'm tied to is the one that the guys who are staying back, they know which rope it is. And then, you check your ankles to make sure that it's fastened good. And then I say, what do you do after that? And he says, after that, what you do is you check the rope. You make sure that your rope is the one that they know about. And then you check to make sure that your ankles are properly fastened. And after you've done this a few times, then you jump. That's the way in which I have often been in my Christian life. And I've been afraid to jump. You check the promises. Oh, they are there. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You check the promises. They are there. My peace. I just gave you one. I leave with you, Jesus says. So all the promises are in place. So you check all the promises. You check all of the issues and you go over them again and again and you memorize them and you know them all. And then when it comes to jumping and to say, God, I trust you, suddenly there's a disconnect because there is some area of our life that we do not wholly want to give to God because we are afraid of what He might do with that area. And it might not be what we want. Sometimes we stand there and we fear what happens if we were to jump. What if we were to make this commitment? What would God do? That's our fear. We feel as if at times we are standing there and we're the next person to jump when the person before us has just jumped and the rope broke and they dashed their heads against the rocks below. And so we're full of fear. God says, you're not trusting me in that area. Either because A, you have a sin that you're not willing to give up, or else B, you're unwilling to commit. Now, the best example of commitment I know is the story of Potiphar, who trusted Joseph with all of his house, the Bible says. And he trusted him so much that he concerned himself not with anything that was going on in the house except the food that he ate. He said, I'm just trusting Joseph. That verse has just gripped me. And will not let me go. Do I trust God that much? So what you need to do is to say, okay, God, what I need to do is to make a commitment of all the issues that trouble me, I have to give you my marriage. I have to give you my vocation. I have to give you my health. I have to sign off and commit it to you with thanksgiving that it is in your hands and not mine, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It's difficult to do. I've wrestled with having to do it. But when we do it, God comes through, and at last, we're at peace. What is there in your life today? Sin that you've not dealt with? An issue that you've kept to yourself, that you've not given to God? What is it? Is it your past? Is it your future? Have you said, God, I want to trust you? Totally. Here it is. Finally, what we have to do is to accept things from God. To accept things from God. You see, the peace that I'm talking about is not a peace that's always dry-eyed. It's a peace that sometimes is mingled with tears when we go through tragedies in life. It's not a plastic peace that I'm talking about, where in tranquility you deny everything that's going on around you and just pretend like a zombie that everything is fine, when in point of fact it isn't. It's not that kind of peace. It is a peace that is compatible with a funeral. It's a peace that's compatible with the tears and the heartache of a broken marriage. Does the name Horatio Spafford mean anything to you? Not Stafford, but Spafford. Does that name mean anything to you? He was a wealthy attorney here in Chicago in the 1800s. Spafford not only was an attorney, but he had holdings in real estate. When the Great Chicago Fire came in 1871, Spafford lost a lot of what he owned because his buildings went up in flames. That was a trial, but it was nothing like the trial he was about to endure. By the way, he became a friend of D.L. Moody and helped Moody financially with some of his wealth. 2 years after the fire, he decided that he would go to England with his family and establish his four daughters in a school there, because the schools in Chicago had not yet been rebuilt and he wanted them to go to school. But as he was about to leave, a business matter came up that prevented him going. But he sent his wife and his four daughters to England. And he himself stayed back, intending to go on another ship. They were on the Villa de Havre ship. But that ship, en route to England, hit an English vessel. His four daughters drowned. His wife was found semi-conscious, clinging onto a piece of wood, so she was rescued. When she was picked up and got to England, she sent back, and lo and behold, a telegram basically just said, "Saved alone. The girls are dead. Little Annie, little Jenna, little Molly, all four of the daughters are gone, drowned." How do you like that for tragedy and tears and loneliness and tons of unanswered questions? Just like you and I, we've got unanswered questions that just don't make sense. But out of the depths and the crucible of that experience, he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And then the second stanza: "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." Why could Spafford write something like that in the wake of a horrendous personal tragedy? It's because he had a bigger problem, actually, that God solved for him. His problem that God solved for him was much bigger than even the life or death of his family. What does the third stanza say? "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Paul says, we're in spiritual warfare. Satan does buffet. Doubts do come. Peace is difficult to receive because of our own rebellion and lack of faith. But stand with your shoes planted and accept those assaults, knowing that we have the armor to do it. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying today for all those who came here, to church today without peace. I'm praying for the person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. He and she, or she, do not have peace. Show them today that peace is found in Jesus if they receive Him. I pray today for Christians who are going through turmoil, the likes of which many of us have never experienced, and they find no peace. No peace about their past, no peace about their future. Today, Father, may we see you as the God of peace. And we quote the words of Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. Do that, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. What a miracle God is able to bring about in our lives in the midst of disappointment and heartache and loneliness, in the midst of our shattered dreams. God is still able to give us peace. Even as I speak to you now, I'm praying in my heart that God will do that for you. For those of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior, that you might be brought to the point of peace, that you and I might be able to give to God every single anxiety, every worry, everything that distracts us, everything that robs us of peace. Because remember, the devil does not want us to have peace. But then my mind and heart also goes to those of you who have listened, who've never trusted Christ as Savior. You say to yourself, what you've just heard seems to be so impossible, that God can give peace in the midst of such heartache. Well, He can. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And it is in the midst of that peace that we stand. We stand with these shoes. We will not be moved. We will not be distracted. Our hope is in God. We entrust all that we are to Him, and we believe, and we believe, and we believe. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day to do that. Transfer your trust to Him. Receive Him for your forgiveness and for your peace, that the peace of God which passes understanding would be yours as well.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding his message on The Shoes of Peace, the fourth of seven in his series on the invisible war. Tomorrow, the next crucial piece of the armor of God, the shield of faith. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on the invisible war can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible war. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.